What's going on, everybody? We made it to Friday finally, and boy, it feels good, doesn't it? I love being able to just enjoy time with my family and relax. There's nothing better than having positive reinforcement at home and just avoiding negativity altogether. Me personally, I think life is just too short to waste on a bad mood. I don't like to be around negative people or listen to negative things, you know? We gotta surround ourselves with positive things and positive people and have that positive energy reinforced in our lives. And that's what we're gonna do today as we start out this Friday. We're gonna be positive. In fact, I have a really fun episode planned for today. I'm putting away my reporter voice and I'm just gonna talk like we're having a conversation. We kind of are in a way, except I can't see you or hear you. And thinking about it now, I probably need to try and work on getting some guests eventually before y'all get bored with me. Or maybe even anyone listening can send in some questions, any kind of tech things that you would like to know, and maybe I can answer those for you. Anyway, this is episode 6 of Project Gemini, and I'm going to be focusing on a really cool topic that I've been thinking of for about a grand total of 5 minutes before I started writing this episode. I know it was like an epiphany when it hit, but today we're talking about the tech that we take for granted. And this can be any technology, really. So for me, this is a fun topic to explore because there's so many things that if we didn't have, I think as modern people, we would just lose it. So we have that coming up, but before we get into it, I do have some crazy personal news that I want to share for this week in tech, and then we have some great updates in what's good in games. I am your host, Shaylin. You can find me on Twitter at RealShaySmooth. Project Gemini is a podcast designed to highlight the many innovations in technology and video games, as well as provide updates on current events. Let's go ahead and get started with This Week in Tech. So for This Week in Tech, I want to share a personal experience that has left me a little shocked. I decided that for my production rig that I use to create, edit, and post Project Gemini, I would install a newer and better air cooler for the CPU with RGB and better air movement against that stock Wraith stealth cooler that I had in it from AMD. So I tried to remove the cooler and it was kind of stuck, which can happen. The CPU, a Ryzen 3 3600X, was only 3 months old at this point. And so when I finally pulled the cooler off, I didn't see a CPU resting in the motherboard lock. So I looked at the bottom of the cooler and there it was, stuck like glue to the bottom of it. Now, for computer builders listening, you know that with most motherboards, there is a lever that you raise to unlock the CPU and install or uninstall it. In this case, the CPU is quite literally pulled out of the lock with the lever still resting. I tried to push the CPU off the cooler and it wouldn't budge. In fact, I tried so hard that the fat from my thumbs ended up pushing into the pins and bent the pins a little. Not a lot, but enough for me to regret ever taking that cooler off. So nothing was working. I tried a phone case remover tool, a thin flat screwdriver to use as a lever, and let me tell you, that stock thermal paste was better than super glue. Nothing was working. Well, I decided to grab a hammer. Hold on, I didn't smash it though. Trust me, I wanted to, but I didn't. So I take the back end of the hammer to extract nails, and I place it gently between the CPU and the cooler to try and pry it off, and next thing you know, pop, comes right off onto my other hand. So I cleaned it up real nice, removed the old paste, and installed it with the newer cooler. And I went to turn it on. Nothing happened. Computer didn't respond. Power supply didn't turn on. Motherboard didn't show power. Why isn't anything happening? In my head, I thought I ruined my PC. I ruined my perfectly good PC because I wanted a better thing to replace an already working thing. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever replaced something that you didn't need to fix and ended up just making it worse? Well, that's all I could think about as I tried to sleep till the next day. So the next day comes, and I remove all the components from the PC. I test the power supply using a small twist tie that I shaved the non-metal pieces from and connect it to the 24-pin connector to simulate that it's connected to the motherboard, and the fans turn on, so okay, good, power supply is working. I remove everything else, RAM, GPU, hard drives, the CPU again, and I leave the motherboard bare. I blow out the motherboard CPU lock, clean it out, and then I reseat the CPU. I connect the motherboard to the power supply and turn it on, and what do you know? Motherboard responds, and the case fans begin spinning. So I quickly turn it off since the CPU doesn't have any thermal paste or cooler, but by now I'm happy. Skeptical, but happy. I reinstall all of the components, except I do remove 32 gigabytes of 2133 millihertz RAM, and decide to install 16 gigabytes of 3600 millihertz RAM. It's a lower capacity, but quicker timing, so that'll be great in games. And then I put everything back together like it was. Turn it on, make it to boot, and then it doesn't go past post. And I realize that my operating system SSD is not showing up. So again, I take the back off of the PC case to see what's going on with the wiring, and the wiring for the hard drives is different from the original way that I had it, so I change it back, put it together, and try again. And finally, it makes it past post, and I am at the login screen. Log in with my PIN, everything's working, had to reinitialize Rebar and TPM 2.0, but other than that, everything was working like before. I let Asus AI Suite optimize the fans, and I'm already noticing a 10 degree difference in the CPU idle. I load up Cyberpunk to start playing for about 15 minutes, fans wrap up like expected, CPU cooler is doing great, loving the RGB. I check the temps, and I'm still hanging around 10 degrees lower than where I was before at full load. So beforehand, the CPU would stay around 74 to 76 degrees Celsius, and now I was getting readings between 63 and 65 Celsius, and we're talking a heavy load of gaming. So I can say that I went to bed that night very happy that I could fix my production rig, and think from now on that instead of pulling an air cooler off, I'll probably give it a little shimmy and slight twist until I break that vacuum seal. Alright, we'll see what's good in games right after this. Is anyone listening a fan of the World War Z game that Saber Interactive released? Well, if you are, then you'll be happy to know that on June 30th, the team provided a short preview of their new first-person zombie-killing perspective, and it's looking good. The trailer for World War Z Aftermath is up now on WWZGame.com, and it's expected to come out sometime later this year to both gens of PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. Aftermath includes full crossplay and new story episodes in Rome and Kamchatka in Russia. The expansion includes new monsters, dual wield for players, and even swarms of undead rats. Out of everything though, I'm mostly stoked for that FPS action, looking like they're going to try and compete with Back 4 Blood, as both have that similar taste of the Left 4 Dead series. I guess the non-zombie version of this would be Aliens Fireteam Elite, coming out on August 24th, so pretty certain we're going to have three Left 4 Dead-ish style games to choose from. And if you listened to my rant earlier about multiplayer versus co-op, you'll know that these types of games are my bread and butter. Big news from PC Gamer, article author Natalie Clayton reported that Bloober Team, the developers responsible for the medium, is now coordinating with publisher Konami to create some new games. For those unaware, Konami is the publishing owner of Silent Hill, probably one of the biggest horror franchises outside of Resident Evil. Also, Bloober Team is known for their horror genre games like Layers of Fear and Blair Witch. I think you might know where I'm going with this, and it takes a lot not to speculate if Konami and Bloober Team are working together on a new Silent Hill game. Clayton mentions that on the GameIndustry.biz website, Bloober Team had already announced back in February that they were working on an existing horror IP with a very famous publisher. Now, I can't think of any other major horror franchise from Konami that can live up to this rumor. I mean, I enjoyed playing the medium, I thought it was an excellent game, and though at times it did feel clunky, it still gave me a very nostalgic feeling that I enjoyed. I guess only time will tell what this collaboration will bring. A cool update from Rockstar Games on fan favorite Red Dead Redemption 2. On July 15th, RDR2 and Red Dead Online on PC received NVIDIA DLSS support for Windows owners with DLSS capable cards. That's great news for all RTX card owners, as RDR2 is definitely one of the most GPU hungry games I've seen in a while. Having an amazingly beautiful open-ended world is costly, but now perhaps my 1440p Ultra preset can have a constant 60fps, and that will actually be achievable. Currently I'm getting about 47fps with all Ultra settings, so I'm very excited to see how it does with DLSS on. And we're getting into tech we take for granted right after this. So today I wanted to make this topic fun, and I can't think of anything better than talking about the tech we take for granted in our lives. And when I say tech, I'm not just talking about computers, smartphones, and the internet. I'm talking about some things you may have never even suspected to be brought up. For me, there's a very important piece of technology in our homes. Most likely, we all have at least one of these. Well, at least I certainly hope so. I'm talking about the flushable toilet. Man, this is such an underrated and important piece of technological growth. Can you imagine not having a flushable toilet? I mean, we'd be going back to using buckets or latrines. And I hope you have a stream or river close by to carry off your bodily waste, otherwise it's going to be a rough time at home. So let's go back in time to appreciate the history of this device. The first flushable toilet was described back in 1596 by Sir John Harrington, who history describes as an English courtier and godson of Queen Elizabeth I. His device was known as a water closet. Unfortunately, his design required a hefty 7.5 gallons of H2O to make it flush. This was a drawback for times when water was scarce. Per History.com, Harrington noted that about 20 people could use his commode between flushes. Now, I don't know about you, but I can't imagine having to share an unflushed toilet with someone, or 19 other people. The sheer thought of it sends shivers down my spine. I would definitely have hoped to live somewhere with a decent amount of water available at all times, so it's one flush per person. Almost 180 years later, in 1775, Alexander Cumming actually received the first patent for a flush toilet. History.com states that his greatest innovation was the S-shaped pipe in the toilet to create a seal that keeps out sewer gas from coming back up the toilet. Eventually, an English entrepreneur by the name of Thomas Crapper would make one of the most successful lines of flush toilets and even improved the S-shaped pipe by using a U-shaped pipe that wouldn't get as clogged as easily. Now, the phrase, "I have to take a crap," is making sense. I always thought that crap was in reference to poo, but it's actually an original reference to the man who made the toilet what it is today. See, during the Second World War, American soldiers stationed in England and France experienced the, quote, crapper for the first time. They brought the term back home, so a big thanks to Thomas Crapper. And I guess as a side thought, how about we give some appreciation to modern toilet paper? According to History.com, people in the 1700s were commonly using corn cobs to wipe their bums. I have no idea how that would work and feel, and I prefer not to think about corn in that way. The Romans had it even worse. They used communal sponges. Yes, you heard me right. Communal sponges that had to be cleaned in vinegar and salt. I can't imagine how many rumps got cleaned by the same sponge before it was retired. And I bet that sponge had a rough life. Living without the standard toilet or toilet paper today seems impossible. When the COVID-19 pandemic began ramping up in March of 2020, people took off to store shelves to hoard toilet paper as if it were some type of white gold. And I guess considering the corn cob alternative, I can understand why. It is white gold indeed. The direct relative to our modern toilet paper was made only in the 1930s, so still less than 100 years old. Isn't that crazy? With all the advances in technology comes even more advances, so toilet paper now has a new contender, the flushable wet wipes. And these are great alternatives to making sure the bum stays clean. Whatever your choice of weapon for some personal cleaning, I think we can all appreciate the modern toilet and modern choices. Thank you for listening to today's episode. If you enjoyed it, please consider sharing it with a friend or family member. That would really mean a lot to me. I'm not sure what I have planned for next week. With having nearly destroyed my production rig and the increased duties at my place of work, the future of Season 1 is looking a little rough. If you have any thoughts about future tech topics or questions you would like answered, please feel free to write me at shaysmoothspeaks@gmail.com, or you can hit me up on Twitter at @realshaysmooth. I'm going to take the next few days to decide whether I need to go on a temporary hiatus and come back refreshed, or if I can continue to trudge along. Like always, I hope you have a great weekend, and I'll see you in the next episode.